And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. Our sponsors for today's show, AARP, taking on issues that matter. Northern Insurance Group, meeting your business, commercial, and personal insurance needs. And the law firm of Jackson Lewis, all we do is work. Today we're going to be talking with Dr. Amy Wood. And we're going to be talking about a great topic today, navigating negativity in the workplace. Amy, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
No, it's going to be fun.
Hey, it is going to be fun.
It is, because we're not going to be negative. We're going to be positive
right.
on this
we're
show.
We're going to be really positive, really optimistic.
Absolutely. So, first of all, for listeners who don't know who you are, give a little overview of where you've been, what you're at, what you're doing,
sure.
so that people kind of know.
Sure. I'm a psychologist. I'm based in Portland, Maine, and I really specialize in helping people to be more effective at home and work by streamlining their decision-making and their behavior to make it more manageable. I'm the author of the book Life Your Way, Refresh Your Approach to Success and Breathe Easier in a Fast-Paced World, and that pretty much explains what I do. You know, we're living in a society that's increasingly overwhelmed with information and options and demands, and so I help people to cut through that clutter and figure out what's best for them. And one of the things that I really focus on is optimism, because that's a number one way to be more effective and to get through a lot of the overwhelm. But I think it's important to help people to understand what optimism really is, because it gets a bad rap in our culture.
So you're saying optimism, and that,
yes.
of course, leads people to think positively because
right.
people are optimistic. But, you know, you and I both know negativity isn't all bad all the time.
That's right.
There's
it's
a little healthy skepticism sometimes.
Exactly, yes.
So explain that if you could.
Well, the true optimist is not someone who is always focusing on the bright side. And that's, I think, what our culture believes, which is a misrepresentation. And it actually leads people to a lot of disappointment and frustration, because they can't be on the bright side all the time. It's not normal and it's not healthy. True optimism is really having a very broad perspective and looking at the big picture and saying, okay, not everything's perfect. I'm not Pollyanna here. I see that we have problems. Let's see how we can solve the problems. And we can solve problems by focusing on the future and focusing on what's working and using our strengths and looking at the potential, rather than sticking in the muck of the negativity. So it's really looking at the good and the bad and solving the problem by focusing on what's working.
By the way, you said in that answer, which I loved your answer, it was great, but you said normal. What is normal? Anyway, you don't have to answer that.
But what is normal?
What is normal? I always ask that question. What is normal? And there's never really a good answer for that, but that's all right. So tell me about some of the things that you think are critical to an organization to think about when they're really talking about being optimistic and realistic in their approach.
Well, optimism is not denial, and I think a lot of the positive thinking hype that we hear now, you know, in self-help, with self-help books and blogs and talk shows that you see on TV, you know, where it's all about transform your life in 5 easy steps just by changing your attitude, focusing on what you're happy about, letting go of what's negative. Organizations and people can get into trouble when they are in denial about what's really happening. So to be an optimistic organization, it's really important to look at the entire picture, as I said earlier. So looking at what's working in your organization, looking at the problems in the organization, but not being fixated on the problems. And this is where navigating negativity is really important, to not completely dismiss the glass half empty perspective, to look at the value, look at the wisdom in that perspective, and take that and use it to solve problems pragmatically, and then leave the pointless negativity behind, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I think it's interesting. You know, people, when they are at work, it's kind of like being at a family. And so mm-hmm. there is, over time, this culture that develops. And
yeah.
the culture sometimes can be negative. It sometimes can be positive. It can be a mix. Of course, it's usually based on the interactions between people. And that is, of course, the challenge, right? Because people have good days and bad days. And,
that's right.
And people say, well, you know, I'm having a good day today, and everything's hunky-dory and rosy, and I'm really optimistic today. And tomorrow, it's been a bad day, and everything's negative, and I hate everything, and I hate everyone. So, you know, how do you manage that strain from an HR perspective, from a owner's perspective? Because you know, they're looking at this and they're thinking to themselves, well, you know, I've got a great team today, but why can't I make it consistent?
Well, I think that to look at the bigger picture is really important again. So to look at your company, your organization, or your team, or yourself, not just from what's happening in the moment, from that perspective, but stepping back and saying, okay, over time, how much of this is optimistic? How much of this is positive, and how much is negative? So, for example, many, many people come to me, you know, I do a lot of executive coaching, a lot of therapy, a lot of life coaching, and people come to me wanting to improve their life, and they take a few steps forward, and then they come in and they say, oh, I've gone back to square one, I had a terrible week last week. And they look at that like they're starting over, and I try to explain to them, if you look at the perspective from my where I sit, I see that you've come in to see me several times, and you're making progress, and you just had a bad day. That's fine. You can't be on top of things every minute. And because we are so much as a culture into quick fixes and one size fits all cookie cutter solutions to problems that are supposed to catapult us to success and transform our lives, we have no patience for a nonlinear way of moving ahead. So we don't understand that human growth and organizational growth and development involves going forward, going back, going sideways, you know, going all different directions. But as long as you're consistently moving forward, if you look at the big picture, like over the past year, and you see, just like when you look at your stock portfolio, you know, maybe one month you went up and then you went back and then you went up and then you went back again. If you look overall at the year and say, well, we went back and forth a lot, but still we're ahead. That's what you want to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I mean, you've got companies that are very sales-driven at time, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're looking at the bottom line at the end of each week, month, day, depends on if you're talking retail, or if you're talking, you know, a situation where they have to have answers today. And then they have the stress of the bottom line. So maybe they can't afford to wait. And so you do hear owners and HR professionals that are forced to push forward faster than maybe their team is ready for or can capably handle, but the powers and the pressures of the bottom line put an actual burden on that. How do you address that realistic and honest approach that actually happens?
Well, I think you have to understand what makes people motivated, what makes people successful. And the tortoise and the hare story comes to mind for me here, you know, where the tortoise took a break and ended up winning, while the hare was more focused on moving quickly. What I know as a psychologist is that if you take regular breaks and if you allow yourself time to process your emotions, whether they're positive or negative, and you work through things, you're far more apt to be successful. So pushing people to constantly produce and constantly be thinking positively, that may work in the short term, but ultimately those people are going to break down. They're going to get resentful. They're not going to be productive. So the smart manager today, the smart business owner, smart HR person, knows that it's really important to give employees an opportunity to nourish themselves, to replenish themselves, to process difficult times so that they can move through it rather than just shoving those not-so-pretty emotions down so that they can be productive. Because you know what? When you just ignore emotions that are negative, that need to be processed, you know, you may think that you've gotten rid of them because you've pushed them down, but that takes a tremendous amount of energy to deny those emotions, and they come up anyway. They come up in the form of not letting you sleep soundly. They come up with unexpected outbursts or unexpected lack of concentration, inability to stay focused on a project. So smart people know that when you take time away from work regularly and you get out in nature or you play with your dog or you do things that are fun, you exercise, you read something that's frivolous every now and then, you're far more apt to be effective at work.
We're talking with Dr. Amy Wood, and she's discussing navigating negativity in the workplace. Amy, we've talked a lot about different things having to do with optimism and positivity and negativity and kind of defined all that. Tell me about an individual when someone's really negative, and it's, if I like to call it gone negative in the workplace, and they really aren't on the team. They're really not somebody who is playing well with others. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're bringing others down. Mm-hmm. This is a real life situation that happens at every workplace.
It really happens a lot.
Unfortunately, it happens a lot. And we can argue the triggers on that. Maybe it's a supervisor. We can say, you know, maybe it's something at home. Whatever the reason for that is. How do you address that situation?
Well, I think you address it in steps. Now, one of the reasons that people who are deemed negative don't get along with others and cause problems is because people immediately dismiss that negativity. They don't find the wisdom in it. So the first step, let's say that you're in a meeting and there's a naysayer who regularly, no matter what the idea is, that person has some reason why it's not going to work. Most people in the room will dismiss that person as just a glass half full person who doesn't really have any wisdom at all. The truth is that it's really important to listen to that negative perspective. You know, think about it, if you were building a bridge, you know, or you were about to do surgery on somebody, and that negative person in the room says something like, you know, that bridge may not hold up with this particular kind of mechanism, or there's something about this surgery that may not go well if you don't look at this. A very simple way to look at this is, you know, well, the picnic may not work, you know, as a group activity if it rains that day. You know, that person is bringing up a very legitimate concern that needs to be looked at. And this is where die-hard optimists get in trouble, because they don't want to look at what may not work. And again, the first step of optimism is to look at what problems there may be so that you can address those issues, and then you gather your strengths and you galvanize your motivation and move forward toward a solution. So the first step is always looking at that person who's making the negative statement and taking it into consideration and thanking the person for it. Now, the real trick here is knowing when to say enough is enough. So there are negative people who do provide practical wisdom, but then you've got to know when it's just getting into a point of bringing morale down and it's just pointless negativity and it's a drain on everyone, and that's when you've really got to stop it. And there are some ways you can do that.
And we're going to talk about that when we come right back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're talking with Dr. Amy Wood. We're talking about navigating negativity in the workplace. We will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we are talking with Dr. Amy Wood, and you're a psychologist, and we're talking about the navigating negativity in the workplace. Before we went to commercial break, you were talking about an individual who's negative, and there is a point in which an organization says to themselves, okay, enough's enough, enough with the negativity. And so we got to do something about it. So talk about that. What does an organization do at this point when they've had it up to, quote-unquote, here?
Well, what I tell the people I consult with, you know, when you're dealing with a negative person who's unduly negative, and you've already extracted whatever wisdom they have to offer, you know, the first thing I tell people is just give them a chair, meaning, you know, just let them vent a little bit, because oftentimes people who are negative, they're acting negative because they're not getting attention from enough people in their life, and maybe it's because they don't know how to engage others because they're negative too much, but give them the benefit of the doubt, give them a chair, let them vent to you, hear what they have to say. And then try to get them to work towards solutions, meaning that you can point out, you know, here are the positive things I see in your situation, here are the strengths I see. How can you use those strengths to solve whatever the problem is that you're complaining about? So you want to be really solution-focused with them, and sometimes that's all the steering they need. But more often than not, people who are really negative will keep coming back to you, venting more and more about a particular problem, and that's when you really have to intervene to stop that negative talk. And so one thing you might do is you might say, you know, we talked about this before, can you tell me what point you want to make with me today, so that you can stop, circumvent the venting and get right to them having to make a point, because oftentimes when people are negative, they don't really have a point. They're just complaining, and that forces them to really stop and ask, do I really have a purpose here in talking? The next thing that you can do is you can really engage them in trying to think positively by asking for specific spot positive responses. So let's say you're in a meeting and somebody gets a reputation for always being negative beyond a point where they're helpful. You can actually ask them, instead of just saying, what do you think about this project? You could say, what are three positive outcomes you can imagine? Or what are three great things that you like about working here? Or that you like about this idea? And then they're forced to try to come up with a positive spin on things. So those are just some ways that you can extract positivity from a negative person. It takes a lot of coaching. The other thing that you might do, if someone is perpetually negative, you know, you might tell them that maybe they could benefit from speaking to someone about that. Like if the organization has an EAP, refer them to an EAP counselor. You know, let them know, I hear you. It sounds like you're having a hard time right now. Maybe you should go talk to a counselor about this and see what they think, see what their advice is.
Do you find that sometimes people think that I don't need that help? You know, they get so worked up that they don't want to talk to people. And how do you overcome that barrier? And can they force, as an employer, you to go see somebody?
Well, you can't really force anyone. And the interesting thing, you know, people always ask me about the type of people who come in for coaching and therapy. And the truth is, you know, it's not the craziest people or the most unhappy people that go for coaching or therapy, because they usually blame everybody else and they think it's their problem. So the people that I see in my office tend to be the people who are driven crazy by overly negative people or by the really crazy people. So the hardest thing usually about negative people is that they don't take anything on as their problem. They're always saying it's somebody else's problem. So the more you can redirect them by asking the questions that go for positive responses, and the more you can refer them to the appropriate person, like a counselor to talk to, the less opportunity they're going to have to just vent about their problems. So it's really about not enabling the negative behavior to continue. You know, so for example, one common type of negative person in the workplace is the gossip, right? The person who's
always
talking about other people in a negative way, person who is always spreading rumors, that sort of thing. And the best thing you can do with someone like that is just immediately change the subject so that they really have no way of talking about that again with other people in the office. And what you want to do too with a negative person is encourage anything that you hear come out of their mouth that's positive, because negative people, as I said earlier, often are speaking negatively and complaining because they don't get attention from anyone, because they don't know how to engage people in a positive way. And so if you hear a negative person say something positive once in a while, really latch onto that and say, wow, thank you so much for mentioning that. That's really interesting. Or I really like when you talk about things in a positive way, because it really infuses positivity into this workplace and it makes it more fun to work with you. Because then what they start to see is that it pays to try to be positive, because you're going to engage people more, get more attention, more people will come to you, you'll have more power. So it's really about ignoring or shutting down the negativity beyond the point where it's useful and helpful, and encouraging positivity as much as you can.
No, that's right. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's no question. And dealing with this can be, I hate to use the term, an HR nightmare, right?
Yes,
it can be. And there are, you know, things that can be said and can't be said. And there are things you have to be careful what you say, because people can take offense to it, right? Because they don't perceive it as their, quote unquote, their problem. It's the other person's problem. And that's always the negotiating part. I find it interesting that typically when you have these situations, a lot of time they don't know they're negative. And no one's ever told them, right, they're negative. And so they almost take it very personal, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do.
So when you're talking about dealing with that not taking it personal part, how do you pass that point when they're saying, but it's not me, it's the other person?
Well, what I do with people like that is I get them to focus on, okay, if it is the other person, what can you do about this? Instead of just complaining, you know, you want to work with negative people to find solutions, because typically these glass half full people just want to complain. They don't want to solve problems. So if you can keep bringing it back to, okay, you know, so this person is bothering you at work, let's think of some ways that you can solve this problem by using your strengths. Now, this is something you really want to do with negative people, is help to find what their strengths are. We all have strengths. And the best way that we can navigate life, not just negativity, but life in general and work in general, is to access those strengths and channel them into solving problems. So pointing out to that person who's being negative, you know, you're really good at this, you're really organized, or, you know, you're really detail-minded, or, you know, you are really great at calming people down sometimes, or, you know, you're really good at noticing what needs to happen to improve a situation, and asking how can you use those assets that you have, that incredible ability to organize, or that incredible detail-mindedness that you have, how can you use that in this situation to help solve your problem? What would make it easier?
No, you're absolutely right. This really isn't a quick fix, is it? I mean, these
no,
are things that are, and that's probably the problem, right? Is that people expect a quick fix.
That's really one of the reasons, you know, there is so much negativity, is because we don't have patience for it. We always want to be happy. You know, the problem is that there is so much information out there that tells us in the self-help industry that if we just do this or that, everything will be wonderful, and we won't have to experience negative emotions. And so we look at negativity as this horrible thing. You know, it's this black and white thing. It's all good or all bad, and we want it to be all good. And that's just not real life. The truth is that emotions of adulthood, they're all over the map, and we experience everything from rage to joy all the time and everything in between. And it's important to welcome all of it and process all of it and not be afraid of it, but not to wallow in it, to work through it enough so that you can start to see the light at the end of the tunnel, because that's where real positivity comes from.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's interesting. I think this has been a very helpful discussion to try to make people understand that these aren't quick fixes. If there's a takeaway I get from this, is obviously it's the quick fix, because we're all about quick fixes. That's what we're all about. There's no question about it. As we wrap up here in the last minute or so, kind of give me a something that you want to tell the audience that says, hey, this is important for the audience to know that you can help them with in dealing with this issue. What's a takeaway? What's something from them that they should really understand?
Well, I think, as you said, David, it's not a quick fix. It takes practice, and we expect instant results. And in a lot of ways in our society, we can get instant results because we have so many gadgets now that make things happen faster and faster and faster on demand. But changing a personality is not easy. It takes time. So when you're dealing with someone who is chronically negative, remember that it's taken a lifetime for them to get that way. And it takes careful training to condition them to act differently. And the best way you can do that is by constantly listening to them, again, taking the wisdom from what they're saying, thanking them for that, and focusing on steering them to solutions. to do that over and over again, but it could be worth it.
Amy, I got to tell you, this has been a great topic, talking about navigating negativity in the workplace. We've been speaking with Dr. Amy Wood. And after this show, everybody can go to the HR Power Hour website, and Amy's information will be there so that you can connect with her directly. One click and she's there. And, you know, you said, obviously, this is a long process, but the fact is you got to do it right. And, Amy,
That's
I want
right.
to thank you very much for providing that information to us today.
Thank you for having me on your show.
This has been the HR Power Hour. And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. What are some succession plan fundamentals? 1. Buy-in from executives. 2. Identify key roles. 3. Define the competencies and motivational profiles required. 4. Identify those who are the most potential. 5. Engage leadership. 6. Utilize a leadership development format. And 7. Develop a database of who you need to showcase. Develop a job matrix is number 8 for key positions, because that is going to be where the rubber meets the road. Don't wait until Talis decides to resign. Start planning now and make succession planning success for 2014. And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with Mark Ventola. He is a employment attorney with Shee and Finney, Bass and Green in Boston, Massachusetts. And he's going to be talking about an update to the wage and hour issue, a topic that is critical for all employers. So that's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.